Hi, my name is Kunal, and welcome to the Geeks of the Valley podcast, which connects with some of the brightest minds globally, who are leading their respective industries today to discuss the hottest upcoming industry trends and how their work is affecting the global economy. This morning, from the London, United Kingdom area, we have a very special guest joining us, who's the general partner and co-founder of Her Capital, a female-focused, Singaporean-based VC. Please welcome Tanya Rolfe. Tanya, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Hi there.
And how are things in light of COVID?
It is a rather strange place to be at the moment, especially as I don't live here. So it's strange to be home, but not home as I know it. But it's also quite nice and reassuring to be somewhere familiar. It's okay.
I'm happy to hear that. Just quickly, an early congratulations to you on your July 14th soft launch.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, we're looking forward to that. It's a online, obviously, soft launch event. And if anybody wants to sign up to that, it's on Eventbrite. Just search for Her Capital.
And for listeners out there, I will be sure to attach that into the podcast notes. Let's jump into the question, shall we?
Sure.
Tell me about yourself and your background and how it led you to the path of becoming a VC.
Okay, sure. So as mentioned, I'm British and I'm an expat living in Singapore, and I've been there for 3 years now. My career history before I moved to Singapore was all within international law firms, and I worked in the real estate and then in the M&A legal teams. One of the last projects I ran was around gender equality and how we could address the female retention issues within law firms, because there is a problem within law whereby female lawyers are leaving the profession either just before they're starting their families or not returning after their maternity leaves. And so we had a 50-50 split of trainee lawyers at the junior end, and by the time you reach partnership, you know, probably a 97% male partnership. So something was going wrong, or is going wrong. And so I led a team to try to come up with strategies to address that. And it was really that was the catalyst for me and the eureka moment of looking and questioning why we just suffer all of these things that mean that our careers are hindered, or we feel we're forced to make a choice due to business practices. And so I wanted to, when I moved to Singapore, I had a second baby, and I didn't want to go back into the corporate world, but I wanted to work and I wanted to be surrounded by smart people. And so when I made a personal investment, just me in Singapore, and shortly after arriving there 3 years ago, I thought, and I really enjoyed managing the investment and getting involved in the business and learning about the business. And I realized, why couldn't I do this with a group of like-minded women? And so I set about building a team, firstly just one or two people, and it grew from there. And eventually we had over 40 female, self-funded female investors. And we were giving not only financial support to the businesses we were supporting, but also our time and our expertise. And that felt really good. And we were investing in businesses that were things we were passionate about and interested in. So businesses that were impacting the world in a positive way. And we did that for 2.5 years. And I think that gave us the confidence to launch Her Capital. We felt confident there was enough female, talented founders in the region, Southeast Asia region. And there was, we also saw there was a dearth of funding, and we were confident that we are confident that we are attractive to female founders, because we're female led and because of our slightly, you know, different take on venture. Our approachability and our strategy are a very basic strategy, but strategy of just being good humans. And I think instead of that's led us really to a place where instead of scrapping about for the best deals, we're actually the investor of choice for a lot of female founders. And so that's how I became a VC. It's a bit of an unorthodox route, but equally feel like we really tested the market, so to speak, in the region. And now here we are excited at the beginning of our venture journey.
That's very interesting. I think for a lot of VCs out there, they've always had some sort of an interesting path, right?
I think so, yes. Yeah.
To jump into our next question, you are the managing partner and co-founder for Capital, as mentioned. What is the fund's investment philosophy and what is your ticket size?
Okay. So we have really one must-have criteria, which is we invest only in female-founded companies. So that means one female in the founding team. We are sector agnostic, although it's of course fair to say that, especially now in the middle of the COVID pandemic, obviously we're very focused on digital businesses. We have a leaning towards businesses that are mission driven and designed with a triple bottom line, so profit, planet, and people in mind, not just the profit part, but looking at all of those things. Businesses addressing social concerns and inclusion of women at the core of their business processes, whether that means they're employing more female employees or creating products and services that are improving the quality of life for women. So in terms of ticket size, we're looking at seed investment of anything between $100,000 to $500,000 with an option of follow-on funding, Series A, around about $1 million.
Okay, very interesting. So you do pre-seed, seed all the way up to Series A?
Correct, yes. Yeah.
Fantastic. Now teetering over to, you know, VC industry statistics.
Yes.
The ratio between male to female VCs differs by quite a big number, as well as the amount of funding that goes into women-focused founders. What type of trends do you believe can be drawn from this?
Okay, good question. I think it's probably fair to say that finance as a sector is overwhelmingly dominated by males. So I don't think venture is, you know, it's probably any different there. However, there is there has been change in recent years, particularly where you are in the US and also within Europe, less so where I am in Asia. But we're hoping to, you know, and there are one or two other female-focused funds. I think I read a statistic a few weeks back that said in the US, there's 65% of funds do not have a female partner within them, so an investing decision maker. And another funny stat I read, just for a giggles, was that there are more venture capitalists in the US called David than there are female venture capitalists across the entire country. I think it's probably no surprise that you're then overwhelmingly invested into male-led businesses. I think my view is that people tend to invest in businesses and people that they can understand and relate to. So it does make sense that male VCs are investing in male startups, because male-led startups, because they're probably looking and seeing a little bit of themselves in a younger version. And so I think that's you know, I don't think that comes as much of a surprise. Now, where the change will happen is where more female led funds are coming through. And when we were launching Her Capital, we did a study of all the female focused funds out there, and overwhelmingly the majority are based in the US and have been, you know, some of them have been around for many years. But in recent years, there's been quite a surge. Clearly, it's a drop in the ocean, given that we're talking about only 3% of venture funding going to females. So, you know, we need an awful lot more of these female-focused funds. And then on the flip side, I suspect we'll see more female-led businesses, because if there are opportunities for if female founders can see a route to funding, i.e. more and more female focused funds or female friendly funds, then they're more likely to start businesses, and then that as well will change the landscape of funding for females. So it's a bit of a chicken and egg situation, and I suspect the two will have to go hand in hand. More female focused funds will see an increase in female founders going for funding, and slowly we kind of move the needle, but of course slowly is probably too slow. We're certainly out in Southeast Asia to make our difference and make our mark.
There was a point you had recently brought up on how female-founded companies are funded at quite a small rate, but they actually return more for investors compared to male-founded companies. Can you expand more on this?
Sure. So firstly, I want to throw a quite shocking statistic out, which is in 2019, more money was pledged to WeWork than was invested in 648 female-led companies. And I find that statistic, you know, extremely shocking. And especially when you look at some of the data, as you pointed out in your question, that there's a lot of data to suggest that female-founded companies financially return more than male-led companies. Now, you have to look at that data with a slight grain of salt, because of course there are fewer female-led companies to begin with. So the data we're looking at is smaller for female-founded companies. But I think it was Boston Consulting Group that said that for every dollar of funding, startups founded by women generate 78 cents, while for men, the number was 31 cents. So from that, you can deduce that women-led companies have the potential to return more than double that for every dollar invested than a male-founded company. And so I like to think of it like this: even if I removed all of the nice, good to have, we want to support female founders, we want to invest in businesses that are doing good things for our planet and people, and all of those, you know, those items, it just makes financial sense. Our strategy of investing in female founders makes good financial sense. And then when you add that on top, all of those pieces of the puzzle that we're focusing on, it's just a very compelling, an opportunity that we can't turn away from. It was also Boston Consulting Group, who are my usual go-to for fantastic statistics, that said that if women and men participated equally as entrepreneurs, global GDP could rise by approximately 3 to 6%, which is, you know, huge, and somewhere around $2.5 to $5 trillion. So in essence, or in summary, it makes financial sense. And so it's a no-brainer for us.
Tanya, as a fund, what are some of the verticals you're interested investing in and why?
Sure. So I mentioned earlier we're sector agnostic, and that's very true. And our expertise span multiple sectors and trends. So we are open to all businesses, being approached by all businesses. However, there are, of course, and COVID has highlighted the need for businesses with very strong digital strategies. And I personally have a very keen interest in female healthcare, just because that's a very under-resourced and under-invested sector. And we also very interested in supporting, when I mentioned the 3% of global venture funding that goes to women, when you actually break that down and look at how much of that within that 3% go to female founders that are working in typically or have typically male businesses, so very deep tech, as opposed to female consumer products, then that 3% dwindles down significantly. So that is a sort of niche for us as well. So there are a few different things we kind of look at and we like, and that excites us. But by and large, we like to say that we are sector agnostic.
I know earlier in the call you had alluded to a bit of this, but what is it like being a woman-focused investor in ASEAN?
Good question. It feels very pioneering and bold, and I like that a lot. Even though in other places, and as I've mentioned a couple of times, you know, Europe and US in particular, you know, are leading the charge on this. So, you know, but in Asia, it does feel very very lone, and so it also feels, when you look at it in a positive way, it's an untapped market. So the returns are good. There's very little competition obviously there's lots of venture capital firms, but I mean that are focused on females. So our time is now, and it feels exciting, but of course it feels a little maverick. But in a good way, and it spurs us on, and hopefully we spur on other females or men that want to also focus on female-led businesses. The more the merrier in the region, really.
Truly an interesting perspective. I think to wrap up our call with our last question for today, what piece of advice would you give to people out there from the journey you've had thus far in life?
So at the risk of sounding typically female, I feel that I work best in a team, and I like to surround myself, and actually I enjoy working in a team. And so I think for me, it's about surrounding myself. And when I moved to Singapore and I set up the fund I set up the investment team. And long before that, when growing teams of people within law firms, it was always my strategy, and it continues to be my strategy, of dedicating my time and energy and prioritizing finding an amazing team to build around me, and surrounding myself with super smart people, because I'm a really, you know, big believer in if you get great people, almost anything is possible. And so I did that with the investment team, and clearly Her Capital has sort of evolved and organically been born out of that. And I believe that's down to just surrounding yourself with a smart team where ideas come about. And my co-founder, Gail Wong, on paper and in personality, we're polar opposites, but she's a superstar. And you know, she makes it all possible as well. So for me, it is about people. It's about people and building, getting the right people, but also retaining and balancing that sort of can do and go getter attitude with good manners and treating people well. And one of the things I say to my children almost every day, because as most people know with children, you're always reminding them of the same things over and over and over. And one of the things I say to them almost every day is manners will get you everywhere, because I firmly believe that good manners go a long, long way in life to everyone and anyone. So that's probably my very sort of simplistic piece of advice.
Tanya, for the listeners out there who are interested in contacting you or catching a cup of coffee with you to learn more about you or the fund, what would be the best point of contact?
Probably our website. And there's my contact details on there, hercapital.vc, or LinkedIn, Tanya Rolfe. I think I'm the only one on there. Happy to grab coffee, Zoom, whatever is appropriate.
Tanya, it was a pleasure having you on Geeks of the Valley. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.